Tonight, Pat Brady breaks down the Indiana primary results. Then later, we recap the NFL draft with Mark Carmen. And finally, pretty late pal James Vickery rides sidecar. All that and more right now from the Showcase Studio West. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for tuning in Pretty Late. I am broadcasting from Los Angeles. I'm actually, once again, in a closet, which makes it sound a little, it makes it sound sad, but it's a cozy closet. There's actually quite a few Cubs jerseys right next to me, and I just finished watching the Cubs and Pirates play because I waited for Mark DiCarlo, who had not had a chance to watch the game. It's exciting tonight. The Cubs win. The White Sox have won. Great records. Craig, James, are you guys there? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Yes. I watched that White Sox game.
Against Boston. Nice.
Yes.
I'm glad we have a White Sox fan in the studio. I feel that we are not representing your people enough.
Thanks. And I'm glad to represent my people. I'm actually going Saturday night.
Are you really? Who are they playing?
They're playing the Twins.
Okay. The Twins aren't having a great season, so that should be fun.
Exactly. And I'm going with my friend who's originally from Minneapolis.
So is your friend going to wear Twins?
Actually was a discussion. Yeah, because I said I preferred it if he didn't.
Why? Okay?
Whoa.
Because I just don't want to be part of
it. You decided what he was going to wear to the game?
I said I preferred it if he didn't, Craig.
Okay.
Why? What? Just because you feel like you have to fend off your fellow fans?
Yeah, and he's a taller guy.
Would you go in socks paraphernalia, though?
Oh.
No, I wouldn't. No. I like to go incognito. I have to blend in. If I were in Minnesota, full-on Twins attire. No, I'm just... But, he's a taller guy, so he could just... Actually, it didn't even really need to be much of a discussion because he said he wouldn't do it anyway. He stopped doing that because of the harassment he'd get. So,
really?
And not just in Chicago, but, anywhere.
All right. Because when I was watching the Pirates game, there was a couple sitting along the third baseline, and he was in Cubs gear, and she was in Pittsburgh Pirates gear. There was actually a moment off of a foul ball. The third baseman tossed the ball to the guy in the Cubs paraphernalia. In his gear. And it was kind of cute. They kept cutting back to that couple because it was very, very, apparent that they were one of each.
See, like, that's cute. That could have been us. I could have worn.
If it's a couple, you're saying it's cuter?
It is cuter with a couple or just not a big, tall Twins fan. I don't know. There's something about it. In socks, U.S. Cellular.
Are you saying that they're not tolerant of fans from other cities?
They sometimes can be a little less hospitable than you would expect. Craig, every stadium I've ever been in, by the way.
Craig, have you worn your Yankees hat or jersey to other parks?
Yeah, so see, that was what my confusion was to start this conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to attend a Yankee game in any stadium in non-Yankee things. I wear my Tino Martinez jersey. She's gotten a lot of use, and it's amazing.
I put on
one of my three different Yankee hats, and if I had, I would also wear Yankee pants. I need to buy a pair.
You need to get some Yankee pants.
How are Yankee pants different than, because of the
I would assume I have,
stripes?
Like, Yankee emblems all over them, at least.
Emblems?
Yeah, like a bunch of, as much as I could, I would let people know that I'm a Yankee fan. That's what I'm trying to say.
I see.
Right. Yeah, and I do get heckled at every place that I go.
Right? See? It is both.
Yeah. Wait, is it because you're wearing Yankee pants?
Well, I don't have the Yankee pants, Esmeralda.
You would get heckled outside of ballparks if you're wearing Yankee pants.
I usually don't tell people at stadiums I want Yankee pants, so they're not capable of making fun of me for that. They don't know about it.
Yeah, don't say that out loud.
Okay.
Even
on the radio?
This is a safe place.
Got it,
we
good.
We love you.
Yeah.
It is a safe place.
You're in the bubble.
I may be
you're
really
in...
cool, a pair of Yankee pants.
Yankee pants.
Can't imagine the scenario, but yeah.
Okay.
A New York Yankee game in any facility.
Would Yankee pants be like pajama bottoms, or would they be like baseball pants where they go to the knee? And
I was picturing more like just a traditional, jean pair of pants with a bunch of Yankee symbols on them.
Like sewn
in rhinestone.
Yeah, maybe hand sewn on, maybe bedazzled.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep. There we go. I would be okay with that.
I'm gonna get started working on your Yankee pants.
If I could get a light up T-shirt that said Yankees as well, I would wear that to a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with my Yankee fandom. I'm proud of it.
And so you don't mind getting heckled?
No, and I'm not going to start a fight with a guy. If they yell things at me and tell me they're upset with me, I just apologize.
You apologize?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry I made you mad. I just want to watch the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Why would you apologize?
Sounds too emotional for me. See?
Really?
This is why I asked
you.
Well, because
Patty, you don't want
to
fight people if you don't apologize, if you don't
Wait,
seem...
you don't?
No.
Oh, see, Esmeralda, you've been going around and around.
Fan. So, you know, I want to go to the ballpark, but I don't actually want someone to punch me in the face.
No, that's a good goal in life.
Right.
Yes. I mean, you almost need like a sandwich board. If I see you wear all of your Yankee stuff and a sandwich board that says, I don't want to be punched in the face.
Please not hit me.
I don't think that'll help.
No, that seems like an invitation.
Okay. Yeah, that's an invitation.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Like with an X on my face or something? Like to not hit me there?
Don't hit this.
Yeah. Don't hit this.
That makes
my
sense.
Face is too pretty. Please don't hit this.
Don't hit this. Have you been punched at a baseball game?
No.
I feel like this is...
No, I have been. I've been physically threatened because I'm wearing a Tino Martinez jersey, and I just say nothing because saying something makes things worse. So okay. I just try to, you know, ignore them. Yeah, people get angry. They go... I don't know if you know this. People drink at games.
Oh, yeah.
There's beer there. And some people just yell.
Yeah, yeah, I generally remove articles of clothing instead of...
Oh, yeah,
that's
do,
right.
Yeah, you do that. But you go to prison
cubby
for that.
Jail.
I used to. Well, cubby jail. Right. I haven't done that in a long, 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 long time. It was just something I did.
I'll try that.
Yeah, just remove your clothing.
Yeah.
I think that's appropriate.
Right, if they're mad at the jersey, take it off.
Is that when we find out boxers or briefs? Or can we
Yankee
ask
boxers.
That's your Yankee pants.
Yeah, there you go. Man, I'm so sad we have to take a break. This conversation has been great for me.
Show your baseball pants, everyone. You can post it on our Facebook page. We want to see your baseball pants. More after this, go to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez on Facebook, Patty V Show. We're going to be right back after this on 720 Debbie.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes.
It's a good song.
And yet, Blue Eyes never mentions baseball pants. No Yankee pants.
It's an oversight. I will make sure to write the estate. We'll try to get it penciled in somewhere.
Would Frank Sinatra wear Yankee pants?
I think he would.
I think he would wear boxers, Yankee boxers.
Right. Well, whatever he wore, he would probably pull it off, and then other people would wear it. So if I could get him in Yankee pants, it would be a thing.
Back then.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, I understand the complication.
My brain
now.
Froze. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
If I could have at
took some a dark
point.
Turn.
Time travel's possible, I think. I'll figure it out. The Flash does it.
And what a weird, yes, it does, but with a great risk to his own safety and those of others.
That is true.
If we could just sprinkle that into the show every once in a while.
I have so many updates, actually, since last week on personal bubble baths.
Oh!
I really did. I,
you know what, Craig? This has become its own, like, entity because we don't even bring it up. It seems to just spawn. We don't even ask people anymore.
Right.
It spontaneously happens.
People are asking us about bathing. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet it has. You know, it's perfect for listening to the radio, too, I realized. That's one thing.
My show?
Your show, radio in general.
Okay. My show in the bubble bath.
Your show in the bubble bath would be awesome.
Oh, those are the selfies I want now.
Exactly.
I want your Pretty Late bubble bath selfies, please. Not yours. Not just yours, James.
No, we don't. I don't think we want these selfies.
I'm
Craig,
good.
One is on the way.
Yeah, I'm
well,
good.
That's the
James,
beauty
put
of
your
bubble.
Clothes on. Oh, Yankee pants. Oh, look at that.
Yes. Keep your Yankee pants on when you do your bubble bath and post them to our my Instagram or to the Pretty Late our show page on Facebook, Patty V Show. I want your bubble bath.
I almost,
selfies.
You know what? Not even kidding. I almost sent you guys one, but I took it. Not enough bubbles, I'll be honest. I didn't have...
Oh.
Because, that's part one of my story, I didn't have any bubble bath. This was after I was on the air and we talked about it.
You wanted one?
This one day I found myself real mood for a bubble bath. I didn't have any. I had no Epsom salts. I was out of luck.
You didn't have... I use shampoo. Esmeralda,
dish soap.
I did dish soap.
I haven't had a bubble bath in a very long time. I just have baths.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't throw bubbles in. I'll do like Epsom salts.
Yeah, that's good.
Or things like that, but not bubbles.
Not bubbles.
I like the bubbles. And the
love the bubbles.
Dishwasher, it did it to a degree.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that you did not have a successful bubble bath.
It was okay. And then
did you submerge and just go and just blow your own bubbles?
I did. That seemed like a lot of energy.
Yeah, that would take forever. Yeah. Oh, man.
I did. And then I realized the other awkward part. Okay, so the whole discussion about whether you rinse off or not.
Yes.
I definitely rinsed off after sitting in there.
Right, because were you sitting in there or were you scrubbing soap and you know, bathing yourself?
A little bit of bathing. I would call it light bathing.
How long were you in there?
15 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good time period, I would say.
Yeah, 12 to 15 minutes. And I let the water drain, and then I remembered this one awkward part where you just have to stand there, or at least I don't know what you guys do. I just stand there as the water drains with nothing to do.
It's interesting you bring this up, James.
because I don't want to turn the shower on
yet. We talked about it on the show, and I was trying to decide because one idea was also thrown out to shower first.
Right.
So I tried that myself the other day. I showered first. And like you, I eventually wound up in a very odd situation where I didn't want to do, like, put clothes back on and, you know, move on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I have to wait standing in the shower for it to fill.
Oh, and that's way longer, actually.
Oh, it's so long.
Why would you not want to run the shower while the bath water is draining?
Well, so in James's scenario, I don't understand, but mine was terrible.
I'm curious. Well, mine, okay, maybe now that I'm thinking about it, perhaps it's a touch irrational.
Well, I could see because it starts
too
to
much
run.
Water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just too much water happening.
I see. Okay.
And if your drain's not too quick,
fast, right?
Okay. Yeah. So I don't want to create a flood situation.
Would you still have to wait for it to completely drain out to clean your feet because they were in the sludge that you
that's a good question.
Maybe that's part of it too. I don't just like standing there. Yeah.
And in that situation, if I feel that I'm done with most of my shower, I then step out with one foot, rinse one foot, and then rinse the other foot under the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will say that I did feel cleaner after doing it where you shower first and then bathe.
Mm. Get the sludge off.
But I was also freezing for a good 20 minutes.
Well, the showering first.
Slippery.
It's terrible.
Well, no. Showering first because you're clean and then you get in the tub and that's just you soaking and relaxing.
Right.
When I take a bath, I'm bathing. I'm relaxing, but I'm also bathing.
Right.
So you're pretty efficient in there.
Sort of. Because I have to take both, though.
Okay, wait. I'm confused, though, because I still bathed. I actually didn't soak. I don't believe in soaking, I guess, so I still bathed.
Wait, you bathed
then why
twice?
Do both?
Yes. Yeah, why did you do both?
I guess I don't know.
Because
I don't know what to do when I'm sitting in the... I don't know what you guys do.
You just relax.
That doesn't make any sense.
You lie back.
I'm in the bathroom. That's not
I've
a
never
relaxing
had to
place.
Explain relaxing to someone.
No. But in the bathroom...
You have some music on?
I would pick the bed. I would, read a book. That's relaxing.
Well, you could bring a book in. You just have to have strong arms.
Because I'm going to...
They make trays, too, for across your tub.
That's right. I need the tray.
We are two for two. I'm sad we have to break again with this conversation. This is amazing.
And when we said shower first, that's only because...
Yeah, that was right.
I was thinking that but you're never soaking. You just scrub and get out.
I clean. I don't know. I fill the bathtub on its own, and then typically I jump in, I clean, I get out.
That's real weird that you bathed twice.
I did it because you guys told me to.
But he considers what we do to when you soak or bathe.
Bathing twice.
Or when you're bubble bath and then get up and shower, he thinks that's bathing
twice.
So
you're saying when you guys take a bath first and then shower, you do no cleaning of yourself in the bathtub?
No, I do.
Some scrubbing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't scrub.
I'm so confused.
But then also, you're dirty.
Didn't you clean yourself twice if you scrub in the bath and then shower?
Because I'm not soaping up completely. Mm-hmm. If I washed my hair in the tub, I'm not going to wash it again.
And once again, then they're sitting in all that just filth.
Yep.
Grime.
I understand. I'm so confused.
We just need to. Need to watch each other.
Now I'm going to go home. I'm going to shower, bathe, shower.
No, bathe, shower. That's it.
I'm going to shower, bathe, shower. Okay. And then shower again, probably.
Right, because if you shower and then you bathe, you can just pop right out. Because
that's what I did.
There's nothing to. There's no grime because you've washed it all off.
Yeah, the bathtub is we generally the reason we sit down in a bathtub is to relax a little bit and let the water kind of. There's something about being a little bit weightless and the soothing of the warm water.
What if I shower?
And then you get down to business.
What if I shower and when I feel like I'm clean, I then plug the tub and let the shower slowly fill the tub with me still sort of shower bathing.
I guess that's weird though because it feels. I don't like that.
Okay.
I've done that where the shower and you're just trying to fill the tub up, but it's weird because then you're just...
Yeah,
I'll sit there and I'm like, this feels weird. Like it's just
Hold
raining
on, I'm taking
on me.
Notes. Hold on. Okay.
And you get kind of cold because...
Oh, you get so cold when you shower and then wait for the bath to fill up.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, bathtubs are more of a... I mean, it depends. I mean, I actually, when I took one over here, I did sit in the empty tub, wait for it to fill, which was kind of excruciating.
You did?
Feel weird. I did. I sat in it.
Oh. Well, at least you weren't wet, though.
No, I wasn't wet yet.
Right.
Yeah, but it's warm there, isn't it?
Patty, we need a break.
I'm going to go check my wetness. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles, and in the studio we have James Vickery in the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue, Craig Collins running the show, Esmeralda Leon, Rob Martier taking care of all the information you need to know. And of course, tonight is the big primary in Indiana, and if you are a regular listener of Steve Cochran, you've heard Pat Brady on his show talking all things politics. Pat, what do you think tonight? How are you feeling as a conservative, as somebody who's not quite thrilled with the candidates they might have at their selection right now? How are you feeling?
Not great. I think that Donald's good for the conservative movement. He's not a fiscal conservative. He's not a national security conservative. So it's not a great night if you're a conservative Republican, but a big night for Donald Trump, and congratulations to him. But it's going to be one heck of an election.
Do you still find yourself sitting down and going, okay, let me see if I can figure this out today? Where this came from? There's a feeling of disenfranchisement amongst middle America, amongst Americans who feel like they've been left behind after the Great Recession, after this movement. Because I had thought that the conservative movement in this country had a lot of its foundation in religious conservatism. And if you look at Indiana, that's a state that has passed legislation that was based in Christian morality. And Donald Trump does not seem to be running on that sort of platform. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. He actually won evangelicals in a head-to-head matchup against a true conservative, meaning conservative on all points, including the social issues of Ted Cruz, and he trounced him. So I think this is fiscal and economic conservatives, or people are just angry that they don't have a job and think that America is not doing what it should be to help them.
Because I've been trying to have this conversation for months. Because when Donald Trump first announced his candidacy, I have said over and over again, I've won bets left and right that this was going to be the candidate for the Republican Party. It was, and I know this sounds crazy, but it was really just a sense I was getting of outrage on social media, not just in the last year, but in the last 7 years when it comes to the Obama presidency. The kind of and not always the language that Donald Trump has used, but it did seem like this is the culmination of that point of view, of that outrage, whether it's racially based or religiously based or whatever it is. It does seem to be an anger that is there. Are you guys still kind of scratching your heads going, this is not the kind of anger we thought people had?
No, I agree completely on the anger component. I think a lot of us saw the anger in the electorate and the kind of reaction to President Obama for whatever reason.
Right.
The reality is here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, would you agree it's not? Because I think that we shy away from saying that there are people who are just angry about having a black president. Is it a small number? I hope so. But it was an element that was clear. And I think that Donald Trump appeals to that group incredibly strong. But I'm not saying it's the most compelling component is sort of like them and us. But there is, would you say that is kind of there for some people?
Oh, yeah. And listen to the language that comes out of Trump's mouth. I mean, he started off insulting veterans and to Hispanics, to women, and every group out there. But yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
And
it's a bad night for Republican Party. I mean, this is the party of Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and this is not a good. I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I can't. I've been working for Republicans since I was 8 years old, but this is a very bad night. I'm just trying to figure out how we can do what we can to preserve the gains we've made in the last 8 years, but Donald Trump is not a good nominee for this party.
Well, and how did you feel about Ted Cruz's speech tonight? I mean, how have you felt about Ted Cruz hanging in there this long and hoping, against hope that he might have a path to the delegates in Cleveland?
I mean, I think he did, what he got to do, and people are going to run their campaigns. I thought it was interesting tonight that Cruz put himself in line of Reagan, and he's the leader of the conservative movement, but the reality is he got pounded, and he got pounded in a state like Indiana that he should have done well in. So
right.
I think he tried to set himself up for the next election, but I don't think he performed well enough as a candidate. But one argument really got blown up tonight, the fact that conservatives, real social conservatives, have always thought if we had a real conservative candidate, that all these people would come out and vote and we'd win the election. Well, we had that in Ted Cruz, and we saw what happened, so that argument no longer holds any water.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my big question, because I think for a lot of people who both who identify themselves as Republicans and, you know, people who are whether independents or Democrats, identify Republicans as being, as you said, socially conservative, although I think that there is that element of, as often said, I'm fiscally conservative and socially liberal. That comes up for people. Would you say that that seems to be maybe what draws other people who might not otherwise be conservative to Trump?
I don't think it's either of those. I really think it's an angry, middle-class white male vote, and that's who you see at the rallies for the most part, and that's who turned out, and I think that's his general election strategy, is to win that vote. It just is, and it's just not enough to win in a state where 28% of the voters now are non-white. Well, you know, when Ronald Reagan won in 1980, 12% of the voters were non-white. So it's a step backwards for the party that needed to broaden its appeal to non-whites and pick up more women. And a guy like Trump, 75% of women have an unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump. Those are numbers you just can't overcome.
And I heard those numbers are getting worse, which is bizarre. They thought that they—I think I heard someone last night on Justin Kaufman's show say that they thought that they'd gotten as bad as they could, and then he gave the speech about Hillary Clinton playing the woman card, and they got worse.
Yeah, they are getting worse. You know, I'm trying to be somewhat, tonight gracious to him because he did win and he's kind of
right.
The nominee. But I think the guy's a complete goof, and he's terrible for the brand. He's not a conservative, you know, but he won this thing. So I think my role as a Republican is just to try to do as much damage control as we can down ticket. You got a guy like Mark Kirk that's running here in Illinois, who
right.
is a national security hawk, a fiscal conservative, but he's a social moderate. And fits the state perfectly. Probably fits the general electorate better than the hardcore conservatives. So those are the kind of people that the Republican Party needs. And we need to get back to a party that applies conservative principles to help everybody, not just be a bunch of angry people.
Well, and that was I was curious about when Mark Kirk met with the nominee that Obama has presented for the Supreme Court. He was the first Republican, is that correct, to meet with him?
Yeah, and you know, I said at the time, and Tucker and I talked about it at length, and Tucker went nuts on it. He did the absolute right thing. We elected to do a job. It says advice and consent. You have a consent role, the Senate does, and as a U.S. senator, do your job, and that's what he did. And he led on that, and I think here in Illinois, Patty, I get a feeling that race that people thought Mark was in so much trouble. I think Senator Kirk's going to have a pretty good night in November 2016 because he's been that kind of senator, not afraid to do things that may not be popular within the far right of the Republican Party.
Well, because as much as people are angry, they also want to see government that functions. We see in Illinois, a governor who is going head-to-head with the Speaker of the House. There has been no movement as far as our budget goes. When you look at the national landscape and how many seats are up for grabs, I think that people would be wise to, you know, to go, okay, how is this going to be the best, what are they going to be the best results? Let's say if Trump wins, you know, is it better to have more Democrats or do you want Republicans? And who knows who he's even going to work better with, because he's completely an outlier. There's no record to even look at as to how he would function as the executive of our country.
Listen to what he has said in the last 6 months in his campaign, and there's no way, if you're thinking about and care about this country, you can vote for this guy. He said so many things that lead me to believe there's no way he can work with anyone to get some things done. But he's pushing the buttons on trade, on jobs, on make America great, on build a wall that this certain group of people are voting for. But you got to remember this too, Patty. He's only won, in a country of 330 million people, he's only won 5% of the voting public so far. He'll only win 6%
right.
to get the nominee. So this is not America. This is a part of the Republican Party that, because the rules are slanted towards the front runners early on, he got that. And to his credit, he kept moving. He's going to be the nominee. But I don't think his view in any way reflects this country or the party. But right now, he's going to be the nominee.
We are talking to Pat Brady. He is a government affairs consultant, and he's the former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party and a member of the Republican National Committee. Can you hang on for another segment with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, please. We're talking about the other side of the ticket, too, when we come back. We're talking the results in Indiana, and apparently Donald Trump will be the next Republican nominee.
for the presidency of the United States. And that's just wrap your mind around that. I know people have been trying to, but we're heading down that path. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. Joining back, by the way, James, feel free to jump in if you have any comments.
Absolutely.
As we hang out with Pat Brady, who is the former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. Hey, Pat, how can we find out more information? Is NextGenerationPublicAffairs.com the best place to find you?
NextGenerationStrategies@_Brady. That's the best way to get me.
Excellent. And before we move on to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, on the Republican side, Ted Cruz has suspended his race toward the presidency, but Governor Kasich remains. What are his plans, do you think?
I have no idea. And I am a elected Kasich delegate here in Illinois, a supporter and a fan, so I don't know exactly what is going on. There's just 5 or 6 states left, so I don't really know what he's going to do. Just hang in and be the last guy standing.
I mean, is there any shot now at a brokered convention, or would that be something that would really cause an uprising with Republican voters?
I thought till tonight there would be a brokered convention, but I think tonight, with the results tonight, that there's no chance. If you just look at the numbers and how it shakes out in the next states, Trump only needs to get 41 or 42% of the rest of the delegates. And he's there, and I don't think he'll have any problem doing that.
And has the RNC come out tonight? I think I saw that they're now putting their support behind Donald Trump. Is that accurate?
I think Reince Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, who's just from up the road in Kenosha, put out a statement tonight saying, he's the presumptive nominee. We need to unite as a party. So what happens is, once you have a presumptive nominee, even before they get the nomination, the RNC, the National Committee apparatus, the databases, the fundraising, all that gets turned over to the candidate, and the candidate basically runs the RNC. So I think Ryan signaled with that tweet that that's what they're ready to do.
And I think I saw someone write, they were tweeting out hashtag never Clinton. So is that part of the circling of the wagons is, look, if this is going to be our candidate, we have to do everything to stop Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and that's Reince's role, whether he likes Trump or not. That's his role as chairman of the Republican Party. Their job is to try to get the nominee elected. So, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And when you saw the results in Indiana, Bernie Sanders has won Indiana. I haven't been following any of the polling numbers. Was that a surprise?
Indiana is unique. They have some unique laws that make polling more difficult, so no one really knew. I was surprised that he beat Secretary Clinton in Indiana. But it's of no consequence insofar as who the nominee is going to be. It's going to be Hillary Clinton. It just gives Bernie Sanders another reason to stay in the race, and he'll probably have an even bigger voice at the convention. But no impact on the race itself.
Do you think he's going to get more pressure now that Trump has? It seems that he has it wrapped up so they can get behind Hillary a little more to make sure they beat Trump.
Yeah, you'd think, but tonight, if you look at it, Donald Trump had a big night, won big in Indiana, and basically secured the nomination. On the other hand, you had Hillary Clinton, who lost to Bernie Sanders, so at least the picture was bad. But to answer your question, I don't think it might increase the pressure by the establishment people to get her out, but Bernie raises a ton of money, and he's got a message that a lot of people like, so I think he'll stay in it till the end.
Well, I know that you're disappointed with the result. I mean, who your candidate is going to be for the president of the United States on the Republican side. Has it forwarded the conversation, the ideals of conservatism at all to have gone this far in the primaries? Because that seems to be, I think, for Democrats, they're having the conversation. They're forcing Hillary to continue to reveal what her plans are, what her philosophy is, what her experience is, by having Bernie Sanders as a challenger. Do you feel the same way on the Republican side?
No, not at all, because Trump's not a conservative. One thing, and I know this is getting a little into the weeds, but when you go to a convention, you have a platform committee, and the committee puts together the platform for the party, and that's what the candidate is supposed to run on. But Donald Trump doesn't fit any of the components of the platform. He's not a free trader. He's not a fiscal conservative. He's not a national security hawk. In fact, he's to the left, way to the left of Hillary Clinton. On national security. So no, it's not been good for the Republican Party, because we're the conservative party in this country, and he's not a conservative. I know conservative is a bad word to a lot of people, but the reality is that's what the Republican Party is, and there are ways you can articulate the principles of the party like Paul Ryan does and win elections, but Donald Trump's not one of them.
Well, as a consultant now, and as a lifelong Republican, I'm assuming that. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I guess as a little kid. Betty, my dad used to say he was proud he voted for Barry Goldwater, but he was the only one that would admit it.
That's conservative.
Well, seeing what you've seen this year and having lived your entire life, you know, having this idea of what your party stands for, what would you tell the next candidate? I mean, regardless of how this turns out, how do you appeal to the people who've been angry this year, who have found Donald Trump to be their answer to their problems right now?
You need to paint a better picture to people of why the conservative view on how to run the government, which is what we're talking about, is better for America in general, how it will create jobs, it'll create growth, how free trade is actually good. Yeah, there's some pain and change in a global economy, yeah, but we have to adapt. But, you know, the thing that I'm really most concerned about, and this is where Hillary Clinton, I think, has got to make some big gains early against Trump, is his views on national security and foreign policy. They're childlike. And yeah. I think a lot of big Republican names are going to be standing behind Hillary Clinton. Because love or hate Hillary as a Secretary Clinton, as a Republican, she will be more conservative on national security and foreign policy than Donald Trump by a long shot. And that's where a lot of people are going to go.
Well, we want the big boys and girls to be making a lot of these decisions. Pat, can we talk to you next week? Let's check in with you again as we get closer and closer to these conventions.
Hey, Patty, anytime, buddy. Hope all's well with you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's Pat Brady, and we look forward to having him back again. Again, you're where people can find you?
Next Generation Strategies, Pat_Brady. Thanks.
Excellent. We'll talk to you next week. More
see
after this
you,
on
thanks.
720.
Right.
Talk to you later. More after this on 720 WGN. I love playing center field. You know, Carm, on a night like tonight, after watching the Cubs beat the Pirates and just enjoying the game, and there are days I just want. I wish you had brought a lefty mitt and we had played a little catch out in San Diego.
Well, Patty, the next trip we go on, I will be prepared. I'll have a lefty mitt for you. We'll go.
I'll bring my
further.
Own.
Maybe
if you'd given me a heads up, I would have brought my own. Yeah, I've got at least four mitts.
I went in on this. I'll bring a wiffle ball and bat if I travel with you.
Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll take it.
I mean, I like the more the merrier here, and wiffle ball is just an underrated game that is actually, you know, funny that you mentioned that. A couple of my friends are trying to get me to play in a wiffle ball tournament, which I think seems a little bit over the top intense for wiffle ball for me, but I'm considering.
Carm,
it's a one-day event. And how many teams are involved, Mark?
Good question.
Multiple teams. You're playing. One of them, like, there's a bunch of them that are weekend events. Some of them are one day. You might play like 10 games of wiffle ball.
Oh, man. Yes, I'm such a good wiffle ball pitcher. Oh,
James,
nasty sinker.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but do you know who Rick Messina is? He's a big agent in LA.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or manager, I think. Rick Messina has a wiffle ball stadium.
Really?
On his property, yes.
On his property.
Yeah, so there was, I don't know if comics will go over there and play wiffle ball like every weekend, but yeah, he has a wiffle ball stadium.
That's a fantasy.
Do you know the formation of wiffle ball, Patty? Do you know how it works in tournament form? Are you that into it?
No, I haven't played wiffle ball since I was eight.
So imagine a triangle kind of field. You've got one pitcher, right? You got the pitcher and you've got two in the outfield. And you got to get the ball to the pitcher before the person runs to first, kind of a triangular little diamond.
Okay.
So there's three players in the field with the, you know, pitcher being one of them. And then you've got, you know, the hitters, three outs to an inning. Does that not sound like a great time?
I'm going to have to give it a shot. By the way, if you Google Rick Messina and wiffle ball, he's got it's called Strawberry Field Park, and there's like digests of wiffle ball stadiums, and he has, it's in the Los Angeles Times has written about it. Yeah, he's got a stadium.
That's awesome.
If you had a lot of money, what would you build? I'm guessing a Carm goes for tennis courts.
How much money do I have, Patty?
Let's say you've got $10 million.
$10
million? Well, yeah, I mean, you got that's like for everything. That's all in, right? You don't want to spend all your money on whatever
fun
thing is.
Forget. Let's
all right, $2 million. How about you? You're a $2 millionaire.
You have $50 jillion.
No, let's make me a super millionaire. On my property, there would be a tennis court. There would be a full court basketball. Yeah, nice. There would be a pool. I probably have like a little bowling alley too. I'd like to have some bowling alley, and then I'd have a little ping pong area.
And you have like a little, just a bungalow house. I see Karim with like a regular sized house and just all this property devoted to sports.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want a huge house because, like, in theory, when, you know, I have that special loved one and my incredible kids around me, like, I don't want them all spread out. I want to hang tight. Let's be a family.
Yeah, play basketball. And now, where would this house be? Are you somewhere where it's warmer, or is it still in the Chicagoland area?
Well, Patty, in the world that you're painting, I think I have a multiple house situation. But this particular house, I don't know. I mean, there's no. Maybe I just find some little nook and cranny in the city, and I can just hang there.
What about an indoor movie theater? Would you do that?
Oh, yeah, I gotta have that with stadium seating.
Yeah.
With a popcorn machine in the back.
That's too sedentary for me. I need activities.
Laser tag basement.
What if you get like the Kinect thing on the Xbox to play in front of your movie theater screen? Moving around.
Now you're cooking with gas. There's no doubt.
I like it. Yeah, James, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I just said Craig was upping the ante there. I liked it. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, James, what's your athletic, installation on your the James Vickery compound?
As I was listening, I was 3 for 3 with Karim. The tennis court, indoor basketball court, swimming pool. But then I'm not as into the ping pong
bowling alley
or the bowling alley situation, but pool tables.
Oh, billiards, billiards action.
Billiards
nice.
Action with a nice bar. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And it would be in LaGrange. I don't know.
Wow. Man, Esmeralda, what are you building on the Esmeralda Leon compound?
I'd probably have a cool bar with pinball games.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Some like video games. Nice. No courts because I don't care for that.
Okay.
Maybe a dance floor with a disco ball.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Basketball court could double as that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. No. Then you got to push a button to probably switch it.
Right. You want to light up dance floors, what I'm seeing in the Esmeralda compound. Yes.
Patty,
Craig, let's go
to Craig. I actually would just buy an island. What I would want is an island because then I get the beach and all that lovely stuff. I don't really care what's on it if I own the whole island.
Ooh, a little tiki bar.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. Or I would go with, you know, Patty's suggestion, have a tiny little house on my giant island.
Yes. Yeah, less upkeep, you know?
Would you, like, for real, if you had the money, would you actually do that and, like, be, you know, but like, bring it on any tropical storm, just on my island, and I'm gonna shout you down?
I have an unlimited amount of money, so I can make myself as secure as possible. Absolutely. The number one goal is buy an island.
I see a bunker.
Right. Name it after yourself. Declare yourself independent of all your countries. That's the kind of thing. Hold elections. You're the only one that votes. It's amazing. I won again. How great.
Would it be Collins Island? What would it be?
Craigtown?
What would it be?
I can't get my mic to turn back on.
Oh, it's on. I hear you.
No. Well, it doesn't say it's on. I thought the world was taking my dream away. My mic is on. No, I would call it Craig Collins Island. I would just go for the full name, and then I'd name all my children Craig, of course. Everything would be Craig.
Would anybody there be Craigonites? Craigonians?
See, now we're getting confusing. I don't know what I'd call them. I'd probably just call people Craig.
Craig.
Be like, Craig has an idea. Yeah, Craigophile sounds terrible.
Wow.
These are my ideas in baseball pants. We didn't get to talk to Mark about baseball pants.
Yeah, Mark, Carm, do you have baseball pants? Just out of curiosity.
Right.
And what do you think of when you think baseball pants?
No, wait, let's really preface the question, Mark. Yeah. If you were going to a different stadium than the one that is for your team, if you go out somewhere else and you really want to support your team.
Besides, you're not going to Wrigley,
right,
let's say.
You already have the shirt, you already have the hat, but you want to take it to that next sweet level, would you bedazzle a pair of jeans?
That's are you asking me if I went on the road to, like, see the Cubs play, would I wear baseball pants?
Correct. Let's say you go to St. Louis, you know, you walk in. Would you, by chance, add a nice additional layer of Cubby pants?
Well, no, I wouldn't. But I do have them, Craig. I've got some nice. I think I have multiple pairs. I do play come summertime. Of course, I'm in a couple softball leagues. I never wear them. I always wear shorts. And now that I've reached the twilight of my softball career, I never slide. I absolutely refuse to rip up my leg.
What age did the sliding stop? Not what age, but how many years ago? You don't have to tell me how old you are, but how many years ago?
I would say the sliding stopped, Patty, at least 5 years ago.
Because I slid once when I was like 28, and I was like, you know, I can't take it anymore. You know, well, plus I'm kind of in show business a little bit. And I was like, you know what? This is the kind of thing that would just be stupid that I can't get on stage or go to an audition because I slid and broke something. It just felt stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about breaking something because that's not going to happen, at least in that scenario. But I, you know, then my whole leg is ripped up and I'm bleeding. And no, it just can't happen.
Here's the thing. I chipped my patella when I was in high school sliding into second. So I, that's... Ugh. Yeah.
See, I still believe in just leaving it all on the field. Sorry, guys.
That's the hard thing about, you know, growing up as a competitor. I was playing volleyball early in my first pregnancy, and you forget, like, you know, you can't, one, even when you're older, you can't play the same way you did when you were 16. And then here I was pregnant, like, just running full speed for the ball, and I was like, okay, I need to just step back and not play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I leave it all on the that's why I have to stop. I have the instinct to leave it all on the
right.
field. But I don't have the bounce back ability that Karm is referring to, and I don't have the skills as I did when I was 16. Craig, do you still when you play? You would still slide?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I coach the team intensely, and then I play to that level because wow. you can't lead unless you play at that level.
All right.
Derek Jeter style. Right.
I think of Derek Jeter when I look.
This is my beer league softball team that I'm talking about. We go all out.
By the way, but going back to Craig Collins Island, our friend Todd Tuchuk from the Chicago Fire Department asks if you would have a tattoo like character to welcome people. So would you like have that tattoo? We would say welcome to Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
Would you have someone like that welcoming your guests?
You know, Todd's coming up with some great ideas. If I ever get an island, he might be in charge of some stuff there. I would invite him to the island. He wouldn't be able to live there. He would have to come and go, but he would be able to do some work there, I think.
But I think you should have I think Craig Collins Island should be Fantasy Island, where you grant people's wishes.
Yeah.
You make them.
Well, no,
come true.
I just get my own wishes granted. I don't. Oh. That's it's my island. I'm not going to grant other people's wishes there.
On my island, it's a wish. Your wish come true.
Okay.
Island.
Well, that's very nice. I would like to go to your island and then
I would
go back to my
pool.
Own.
Right. All dreams stop here. This is where dreams go to die.
I hope we're neighbors.
Fantasy Island.
I hope we're island neighbors.
I think it's perfect. I think dreams go to die on your island,
right?
And then people come.
No, see,
right.
you're not being fully honest. My dreams do not die. Everyone else's.
Yes, that's
my
true.
My dreams all come true on my island.
It's the worst carnival
cruise
line.
Which
island would you go to? Say that again?
Which island would you find most hospitable? Where dreams go to die or Fantasy Island?
Do you want an elevator pitch of both islands, Carm?
I like the one where dreams go to die.
All right, thank you. You get to come. You can't stay, though.
You play something. No one slides there. You know, you just kind of trot around.
Oh, everybody slides there.
I think better cocktails are on Craig's Island is probably
part of it, absolutely. That's true.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have to have something to wash those dead dreams down with.
That's true.
Carm, earlier, though, I have to ask you, because this is how I got basically admonished in here, because I told my friend that I'm going to the White Sox game with Saturday. I asked him to not wear his Twins attire. He's from Minneapolis. That's who they're playing. And I don't wear, like, White Sox gear in another stadium. That's my rule. Craig, he wears bedazzled pants.
Yeah, James, I'm not with you on this. You absolutely. Mm-hmm. The time to wear the gear, in my mind, is actually on the road at home.
Correct.
See, it's just not that exciting. Everybody else has it on. But when you're going on the road.
Yes, represent.
Yeah, that's where you get to make a statement.
Now, the important follow-up question, Mark, when you are physically threatened, You immediately cower, correct?
Yes.
Craig apologizes.
I do.
I'm so sorry you hate me.
You immediately cower. You apologize. Tail between
or,
the legs.
Or you forever hold a lifelong grudge like I do against the St. Louis Cardinals and their fans for how I was treated at Busch Stadium back in the day. One of the two.
Say
wow. I'm with you, Carm. I say, James, we're all in disagreement with you.
All right.
I think Esmeralda would be the kind of friend that would say, "Yeah, bring your gear." And actually, Esmeralda, you don't wear any sports gear. But
I think if you
traveled and someone said, "Hey, we're gonna go to a baseball game," I see you grabbing a Cubs hat. Because...
Right. I mean, everybody's supporting someone there. So what? I mean, it's right. not like well, you're wearing is... someone from a different, like completely. Different team.
Well, the other thing is, I'm such a big White Sox there. Fan. If he does get in a shoving match with some White Sox, I don't want to help him. You know,
right.
like
oh,
I'm
wow.
in a position.
So, wait, is this only if he's wearing the shirt? Like, what if it happens if he's not wearing the shirt and there's a shoving match? Will you still be like, no?
Depends on the size of the other
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables yeah. here. Probably well, not. I'm with
I mean,
Craig
if I
apologizing.
Can't, if I can't help him, there's no point.
Yeah, but he, I mean, let's just remember, with all due respect to your friend, I mean, he's a sad-ass Twins fan. That's
exactly,
terrible.
That's true.
Let him wear what he wants.
That's he's, true.
It's a season of hopelessness for him.
People will just be patting him on the head as they pass. Like, oh.
Yeah. It's like he's already been to Craig's Island. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West, and I have a proposition from one of our good friends of the show. Carm, you still play softball, yes?
I sure do, Patty.
Craig, softball?
I would love it.
We have James Vickery in the studio, softball.
Yeah.
Do we know if Rob Martier plays?
I'm assuming
no.
he does. He does
oh,
not?
He's Carm. Got four kids.
Wow. He's got four kids. I forgot. Esmeralda, would you play with us? Listen to this.
I'll just go watch.
We'll take your deep sighs, yes.
Can I just hit the ball and then someone else can run for me?
Absolutely.
Can Rob, catch?
Can Rob Mark Grace's four kids into the softball thing? Can he bring them?
I think so. I think he can bring them. Because here's the proposition. Yes, go ahead, Carl.
Rob will drink whiskey and watch.
Oh, like, ooh, well, I want to be part of his team.
I'll drink right, whiskey so, and play. What's the proposition?
Exactly. The proposition from Todd Chuchuk is a game pitting the Chicago Fire Department against WGN Radio.
That's not fair.
That's fantastic. I don't care. That's the one team that you don't care if you get
kidding
just
me?
Completely wiped across the field. Who cares? It's the Fire Department. We'd be playing the Chicago Fire Department. I think we have to do that.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm in. Yes. I call second base, not third base.
I call catcher.
If we can,
I want to see. I get to see every firefighter at the plate. I call catcher. Yes, Carm.
My plan for this is that we'll say yes, but we'll bend the rules, and you just let me bring in some ringers, and you all can play with us, and then we'll play them because. The station, correct me if I'm wrong, last year didn't win one game.
Mark, let's not focus on that. It yeah, was the heart of the team that mattered.
Yeah, we won't have Bob Surratt this summer.
Right.
He was great.
And I was not on the team last year, and I am terrible. So that won't...
Can you catch a pop fly?
I kind of sometimes.
Okay, cool.
Line drive.
Really good team.
I think we can talk.
Everybody that was on the team last year, they can all still be on the team. They just won't actually play.
Because I think we know certain guys like maybe a Kerry Wood. I think we're friends. Doesn't the station have him on regularly?
I do not Mark's idea, by the way, of us sitting on the bench and not getting to play.
Oh, I think we get to play.
Yeah. But, no, there's no way that we do that.
But I think we get a couple
of... I'll get you one at bat. You'll get an at bat.
Yeah.
What, can like I do that? Not play and just sit on the thing?
And
but still get a jersey?
Yeah.
You have to earn that jersey.
I think that works. Oh, by the way, are we playing this year? Because I have received no emails. Am I being invited or no?
I haven't received an email either, Patty, but I think there is a team.
Oh, no. They've been playing already without us?
No, they have not started playing, but I'm not sure.
They've been practicing.
I'm not sure why we haven't been emailed.
Oh, yeah, we haven't been emailed. And you would think maybe because they think we're on so late.
Right.
Carm, have you received any notification?
I have not, and I'm okay with that.
maybe we were so good last year, they want to not make the other people feel
bad. Hey, if they don't invite us, then they can't come play against the Chicago Fire Department.
Yeah.
And we'll just take all Carm's players that he's lining up for us.
By the way, we really need a break.
Oh, I have to go. One second. Carm, can you hang out with us for another segment, please?
Sure can.
Good, because we want to know about your bathing habits. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles. I want to thank Adam Phillips for running the board tonight. I know that it's a little different when I'm out here, and I'm so grateful that James Vickery is in the studio riding sidecar tonight. We've got Craig Collins running everything and Esmeralda Leon up in traffic. And on the phone is Mark Carmen. And I swear we're going to talk sports. I swear we're going to talk the NFL draft.
Well, before we do that, we also have Todd Shuchuk.
Hey, firefighter Todd Shuchuk. What's up, Todd?
Nothing. How you guys doing?
Very well. So how do we make this happen? How do we make this CFD versus WGN, this face-off on the diamond, how do we make this happen?
I'm thinking two different ways. If we want to go 12-inch, because I don't know if everybody wants to do that, or you do that at maybe the little Wrigley Field that is over by Lane Tech.
Yes, please.
Or if we want to do 16-inch and do it at Rosemont, get more people in there, and do this all for charity.
Oh, wait,
between
absolutely.
Ignite the Spirit and WGN charities and get it rolling. And you can bring whatever ringers you guys want.
12-inch.
12-inch hardball, yes.
Yeah, because if we play 16, we're going to have mangled fingers. And
yeah.
Although if we can get more people in there, if it's for charity, then I guess I would vote for that. But if we can get the same people, I'd vote 12. By the way, I'm nominating myself as captain of the team. Thank you.
I nominate myself as co-captain.
Well, there's a big stadium somewhere by Edison and Clark. If they'd be willing to do it, then you could play 12-inch there.
What's the big event they do? Don't they do a wiffle ball tournament at Wrigley in the summer, Carm?
They do. Corey Wilson has a tournament there, and he's a part of the station. I'm sure he'd love to help.
Yeah, let's figure this out. You go WGN, you go CFD. I mean, how do you say no to that? I love this idea. And hey, Todd, what games do you have coming up this season?
We're playing at Comiskey July 13th. Against CPD.
I love that you call it Comiskey.
Yep.
Yeah, and we broke our 10-year losing streak against them.
Nice.
Won it with a walk-off base hit in the ninth. And we played against New York August 19th in Crestwood. New York comes in, and they at the Crestwood Cheetahs Stadium, dollar beer night and fireworks. And all money on both of those goes to charity. So
great. As we get closer to those games, let's make sure we get those seats filled, get those tickets bought. For what charity do you guys play for?
We play for the Widows and Orphans Fund.
Mm-hmm.
That's our Gold Badge Society, and then the police play for the Gold Star, which is the same thing.
Right.
On the police side.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we're going to get our ringers lined up. I think Carm's got some contacts. I don't really have any in with any celebrity baseball players, but maybe I can find a celebrity or two that might play with us.
Absolutely.
All right. I like that. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate the invitation. I think we have to go for like maybe if we try going bigger, we don't want to go too close to playoffs for the Cubs and the White Sox. So I guess probably early August is our best shot, around the time you're playing New York, don't you think?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, we'll get on this. Todd, thank you so much for the invitation. I think you probably got to check with everybody else, as you, Carm, and I. We have to check.
Yeah, right.
We got to make sure we can field the team.
I'll get in touch with Ignite the Spirit. I'll text you my cell phone number so we can keep in contact with it.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much, Todd. Are you at the firehouse tonight?
Yeah.
Now, do any of the other firefighters listen to the show, or are you just kind of off on the side listening with your headphones?
I'm listening with my headphones. They're all sleeping.
All right then. We don't want to wake up the firefighters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Todd, I want you to know that I'm extremely intimidated by you. You have one of the most steely voices, yes. And mm-hmm. Your presence is overwhelming. Know that.
Believe me, you'll be disappointed when you see me.
That's not true. It's not disappointing at all. Thank you, firefighter Todd Shuchuk, and I hope it's a quiet night for you guys.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Have a great one. Thank you. Yeah, Carm, of course. And so, yeah, we gotta put this together and see what we can do. Because we really, I mean, if we can't get the rest of the station, I say we just fill it with, baseball players. Who are you thinking off the top of your head, Carm, that you think you've got an in with for your Rangers?
Oh, well, I've been playing softball for years, Patty, so I got a plethora of options here. We got to see who's most committed, and most importantly, we have to eradicate some of the poor talent that WGN has acquired.
We play for fun. It's a game.
It's a coachable moment, Carm. I don't know what you're talking about. We're not poor talent. We're just not sharpened.
A lot of potential.
I'm about W's at this point in my career, and when I hear the station goes 0 for the season, it's time to make changes. And I don't want to be too ruthless here, but the time has come for the softball team to do something that it hasn't done in a while, and that's win a softball game.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We've got a station team. I don't know that they ever have practice. Do they ever practice, or they just show up for games? So,
that's usually a start,
right?
I mean, I don't know that a lot of softball teams practice. I'm not Mark. Do you guys practice?
We go and we hit the ball around just for fun. I wouldn't call it practice. Maybe we go and take a little BP. Sure, let's get some. From what I understand of this team, it would take years of practice before there would be any real
Rebuild.
Difference. So I think practice is out.
I am one broken arm away from being the best pitcher on the field.
Wow. I think we at least need a group trip to a batting cage. I think we start there. Start hitting some balls rather than just batting. I think you just need to use repetition. Just keep swinging the bat. Warm it up a little bit going into the season. I'm just saying.
What? I think that's a good idea. I think you and I actually should take swings during the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, can we get like a virtual reality like batting practice?
Yes, let's do that.
We need that.
I approve it.
I'm going to try to become friends with Frank Thomas by visiting his bar and bring him aboard.
Yeah, what are the chances we could do that? That would be fantastic. We still haven't asked Carm about his bathing habits. We're running out of time here. Carm, can you hang out for another
segment? What do you want to know about my bathing habits, Patty?
Only if you can stay around for another segment. Can you stick around for another segment? With that kind of a tease, how does Carm bathe? After this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from the Allstate Showcase Studios West. And all this entire hour, we've been teasing Carm about whether or not we're going to talk about his bathing habits. Before we do that, though, Carm, the NFL draft was in town last week. What were your thoughts? Who'd we get? What are we going to do? Are the Bears going to kill it this year or what?
That's not good. I'm not that wild about the draft. They drafted a offensive lineman in the second round, Patty, which I didn't really think they needed because they had been aggressive in getting offensive linemen in free agency. And then they cut this seasoned veteran, scrappy leader, Matt Slauson, this week, who was very popular in the locker room, which I just don't get that whole maneuver there. And then they also, their number one overall draft pick, he's very thin. Football, last time I checked, is a very physical sport. So Leonard Floyd out of Georgia, and I did a draft special with Hamp and Kaz and OB on Saturday, and Kaz watched a bunch of Georgia games, and he never noticed him on the field. So, like, those guys watch football, and they just see the game in ways that their standard person just doesn't. So the fact that Kaz wasn't wild about Leonard Floyd, I thought that was pretty damning. So we'll see. The Bears GM, Ryan Pace, to me, sometimes he's – perhaps, at least in his first two drafts, trying to prove himself to be the smartest person in the room, and that can be a little bit dangerous. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's you never know about these things until years down the line. So tough to say. More importantly than that, real quick, just Jake Arrieta is the most ridiculous human being
on the planet. Right. Not just the best baseball player on the planet. He's a ridiculous human being right now.
I mean, he's just unbelievable. And the fact that the Chicago Cubs have the best record in baseball at 19-6, and the Chicago White Sox are tied with the Cubs for the most wins in baseball at 19, and they have 8 losses, and then we're headed for a crosstown classic come October. This is some unprecedented
stuff
going on right now.
Game one, Jake Arrieta versus Chris Sale. Oh, gosh.
Jake Arrieta, the only two players in all of Major League Baseball very early in the season, but they're the only two players, both with six wins. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on right now, even if it is just May, whatever it is, May the 3rd. But it's really, I mean, this is incredible what's happening.
When was the last time a team got off to this kind of a start? I mean, just even the fact that they have not lost two games in a row. Are there any stats on the last time a team has done that this far into the season?
Well, I'll give you one stat. As far as Arrieta's success winning the first six games to start the season, the last time a Cubs pitcher did better than that was a guy by the name of Mordecai Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Who won 11
Three fingers? Wait a minute, I've heard
finger,
this.
Three finger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
three fingers Brown. You know what year that was, Patty?
I do. It was 1908. I do.
1908, the last time they won a World Series. So if that doesn't want to make you go dance in the streets right now, I don't know what to, you know, I mean, come on.
I'm stepping back and being very cautiously optimistic about the whole season going into the World Series. I am just so excited to watch these games. Every win and even every loss, you're like, okay, you know, the other teams get to have one. But it's very exciting. I don't know what it's like on the South Side because we're overshadowing this season. Everyone's talking about Jake Arrieta. We're talking about the Cubs. What's it like over there, James?
It's glorious down here. You should come get a pole of sausage. We'll talk about a little Chris Sale, Jose Quintana 1-2 punch, and Matt Laidow.
Well, the White Sox had a little bit of, he wasn't helping them win games, but John Danks has been a good soldier for the White Sox for a long time, and he was effectively cut today. So that was, he was pitching terrible, so he had reached the end of the road. But that'll resonate throughout that locker room in a different way than the Adam LaRoche deal. Danks is just, everybody loved it, LaRoche, but this guy's been here a long time. He pitched the White Sox through the blackout game back in 2008 when they beat the Twins in a wild card game. So he's a quality, classy guy who's been around for a long time and got cut today because the Sox are winning so many games that they're going to try to put a better starter in that fifth slot.
He was 0-4.
So he was awful and admittedly awful. Said he was killing the team. So that was it.
Wow.
We might have to make tough calls like that on the WGN team, right, Carl?
Well, right. That's what, we're just like Rick Hahn and company.
It's part of the game. It's how it works. The Cubs picked up a new player today. Did they pick up somebody new?
Well, they had to put Matt Caesar on the DL because he tweaked his hamstring, so they brought up Ryan Kalish from AAA. But, that's the 25th guy on the roster. He'll barely see the field, but...
I was watching him. He looked like a big dude.
Ryan Kalish?
Yeah. Am I wrong? Is it just a TV? Maybe I was watching on a big television.
I actually don't know the exact measurements of a Ryan Kalish, but I'm going to take your word for that, Patty.
Patty, well, from now, the 312, what are Mark Carmen's bathing habits already?
WGN's been teasing this all week.
What specifically do you want to know?
All right, so here's how this all started. I took a bubble bath last week, and so the conversation turned towards bubble baths, and I suggest that it is important to shower after you take a bath, because if you just take the bath, you still have the residue of all the stuff you were soaking in, meaning you've been stewing in your own juices for quite a while. So I think that you have to. We are wondering: one, doesn't Mark Carmen take bubble baths?
So that was an interestingly presented case, Patty Vasquez. But there is a side argument to this. Say that you're not even bubble bathing. Say that you just fill up the bathtub with water. You hop in. You clean yourself up. You hop out. You don't even stay that long. How long does it take your juices to cover you? You know, can a bath be for just the cleanliness purposes
without a rinse?
Yeah, without any sort of rinsing after.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn. It's all, the floor is yours.
Doing in your juices. My Lord, that's fantastic. Okay, I'm pro bath, but I haven't had one in a long time. So in the scenario that you're painting, would I shower after the bath?
Yes.
Probably not, but I certainly endorse the concept. Absolutely.
That is an interesting answer, Mark Carney.
It is. Really playing both sides there.
Yeah, he is. He is sort of playing both sides. Why would you not rinse afterwards? Because you feel that you've done your due diligence?
I'm too lazy at that point. I mean, I'm so relaxed after being in the bath. I just want to get into my bed and relax and complete the full round of relaxation.
Wait, but then you're going to cover your bed in goo. Soap goo.
In Carm stew.
Supposed goo.
I mean, this is there's tremendous words being used here. I believe in the power of the washing machine, and sometimes, you know, you might not go to bed in the most cleanly way, and then, you know, maybe the next morning the sheets just go in, and that's the day they get cleaned.
There you go. If you suspect that perhaps there's residue, it's time to just toss them in the washer.
I'd also think, wouldn't you be kind of itchy? Is the soap still
maybe
on your skin?
But I'm so tired at that point that it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you guys that I've made a very bold maneuver at the gym with my bathing that I think is something that you guys perhaps I need your own input. I have switched from the liquid soap dispensing option, and I've actually made the move to the bar.
Okay.
I think that's a huge, huge change. I mean,
it is.
Now I'm sharing a bar with somebody else who...
I didn't realize. Wait a minute. There's a bar of soap at the health club that is universal. It's for everyone
my God.
To use.
I was about to jump in with how much I agreed with Mark, and then that sentence came up, that other people use your bar of soap.
Well, right. So, you know, and sometimes you get to that bar of soap, and there may be, you know, an old hair on there, and you got to kind of rinse it off.
It's horrifying.
But it's
no.
Such a...
I might vomit.
Why would you rinse it off? Because you're not going to use it, right?
Why
would you ever use
soap?
It? Yes. And then you open your own box that has your soap in it, and you...
Yeah, see, I don't bring a whole thing to the gym, and I got to say, like, my gym is a fairly pompous gym, so, like, you know, I tend to trust what's going on, but I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll just go into the, you know, I'll look for the soap that it's a newer soap, there's no hair on there, but it's one of those green soaps, it smells so, like, fresh and Irish springy, and I feel like I'm doing better for the environment this way, and so I've made this move, but I do agree that it's a little bit gross.
That's like a lifestyle change.
You sure it's not just someone leaving a bar of soap in there?
Yeah, really. I don't think this is provided by
the
gym.
I don't know
from
if this
home.
Is sanitary.
I feel like a similar question to this one is if Mark would let the guy after him jump in a bath with him, because that's sort of the same thing.
What about
most of us would say no.
Community toothbrush. How do you feel about that?
Oh, God. No,
I can't share a toothbrush with the person I'm dating.
That's, I know,
and nor should you.
Right.
Yes, that's appropriate. That seems very, very appropriate.
Craig, quick text before we let Mark go. Yes. Patty from the 312. Would Carm bathe with his ducky Arnold?
Oh no, Ducky says no because it would ruin Arnold.
That's exactly right. Arnold is not a bathing product. He's a cloth duck who's stood the test of time. The guy's been with me since '86. He's not going in the bath.
No, not on purpose.
Yeah, no chance. But, I mean, I'll bring him into the bathtub, I mean, into the bathroom.
Room, right.
Prop him on, you know, on the windowsill, let him hang out.
Right, so he feels like he's part of the experience. Sure.
Right, no doubt.
By the way, Craig, whenever I think of someone sharing a bar of soap, I always think of that episode of Friends when
really
they're fighting
show.
With each other. Yes, Joey tells Chandler, just remember what I wash last and what you wash first.
This is a good point.
It's just a very distinctive moment to dwell upon. Carm, thank you for giving us so much to think about and your bathing habits and your insight on sports, wiffle ball, softball. It's been a lot of fun. And what you would do with $10 million or thereabouts.
I'm assuming that this entire hour was going to be sent to the Broadcast Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Really.
Actually, we're going to archive all of our bathing conversations and just archive those. That's what we've decided. Carm, thank you so much. Find him on Twitter at TheCarm and Saturdays and Sundays on The Beat. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios in Los Angeles, back home in Chicago. Esmeralda Leon, Craig Collins, and James Vickery are holding down the fort. And James, I suspect that you just wanted to, I kind of feel like your post last week was both trying to relieve a little bit of guilt about eating leftover deep dish pizza in the morning, but also now I'm wondering if you were also bragging that you were getting to eat leftover deep dish pizza.
It was a little bit. It was one of those, yeah. Social media, you know, people share pictures about how, you know, great that moment is, and that was for me because it was leftover Pequod's, which is my favorite deep dish in the city.
And really, it was only left over because you decided at some point the night before, well, I've got to stop this.
Yeah. And it was after, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, let me have this half a piece and that's all I need. You know, it was after total gluttony. But I had some left over and I was looking forward to it. And so, yeah, so what I posed on Facebook was I said that I was just waiting for a socially acceptable time to eat this pizza, because I really did feel like I could have eaten it at 9:30 in the morning, but something felt just too wrong about that.
Was it on a bagel?
No, see, that would have helped, right?
Because pizza on a bagel.
Totally different story.
Means pizza anytime.
No,
pizza at supper time.
This is just regular old sausage deep dish.
Oh, wow.
Like, you can't have that with coffee, right? That's not...
Yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah.
You can do whatever you want, man. You are a grown-up.
There's a lot of breakfast staples in a pizza, correct? I mean, like toast
bread.
Cheese, an omelet.
Dirt. Yeah, it was toasted bread. That's good. That's right.
Tomato, if you are in England, they do a...
Correct.
Yeah.
Tomatoes.
Breakfast sausage, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I put ketchup on my eggs, so, you know, same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's... represented. I think it's easy to say, like, and a lot of people did, oh, anytime, you know, whatever. Have you guys actually done that, though?
What, eating a pizza in the morning?
Yes.
Like recently?
Yeah. Huh, I do it all the time. Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about morning, Patty, like, you know, up late from a...
No. I wake up. I'm going to shove pizza in my face for breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
you stumble into the kitchen and you go, what is there? Ah, oh, yeah, pizza.
The classic college representation from Esmeralda. That's what I've done, but I haven't done that for a while.
Yeah, no. I totally love to have pizza in the morning. But usually it's thin crust for me.
See, it is a little different. Yeah, I think the deep dish. Don't you think something about a deep dish slice?
Now wait, are you eating it cold or heating it up?
Heating it up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oven. Oh yeah, deep dish again.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so much cheese.
Ugh.
Well, I also think cold pizza's gross.
Oh no.
I just
thin
don't.
Crust.
I don't.
I
like
cold thin crust. Yeah.
I don't like congealed cheese. I want it melty and.
I never thought about it like that.
See?
From the 773, it is never too early for pizza. I was raised to eat whatever you want, day or night. It doesn't matter.
Me too. My mom, I would have frijoles in the morning, just a bowl of beans. I've had pasta, especially when I was a swimmer in high school. I'd get up and have pasta for breakfast before going to school.
I'd eat cake.
You're a superstar. Huh? Yeah.
My mom would give it to me. Cause
cake is lovely.
I mean, think about it. What else do you eat? Pancakes? Donuts?
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah,
I had a glass of milk. I was set.
From the 309, this is from our previous conversation, not the pizza one. Conversation is too much tonight. Getting really good and bad images. That's confusing. From the 847, I'm hearing static on my radio. I think there's thunder in Schaumburg.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
630, never too early to eat pizza. We're very one-sided in the text, actually.
I know.
Another 773, pizza is good anytime. Working nights, breakfast can be great if it's pizza in the morning.
Oh my God.
Now, also, here's a question. Do you leave it out?
No.
Or do you put it in the fridge?
Only,
you
and
don't
James will agree.
Die.
Well, James will agree with this. On the road, we don't always have a fridge in our hotel rooms, and we will have delivery and convince ourselves, well, this is how I'm going to save money on this trip, is I'm going to eat some now, and I'm going to take my chances in the morning for breakfast.
Yep. That's the only scenario where you should leave pizza out. If you have a fridge of any kind, it should be refrigerated.
I've always done that, and I'm still living.
Yeah.
You just did it because you didn't care to put it in the fridge. The answer was obviously that it should have gone in there.
Well,
there's
it's
no
also
benefit
big,
to leaving it out.
But it's a big container, and I don't have any to put a bunch
of
slices.
You stuff it in there. You tilt it.
I will work for a half hour to stuff that thing in there, too, before I put it in another receptacle.
I leave a lot of food out. That might not be good for me. But again, I'm still here. So
maybe that's how you've developed your immune system.
That's true.
You've grown your own penicillin on your food is what you've done.
There's not mold on it. It's not like 3 days later. I'm like, oh, look at that pizza.
What kind of things do you leave out, Esmeralda?
I leave, like, if I've made stews and stuff. and they're too hot to put in the fridge. And especially, you know, when I have to leave at a nighttime hour. So I just leave it on the stovetop. I mean, I put a cover on it, but it's hot. And then when I get home, it's not hot anymore.
Then you just throw it in
anymore.
The bathtub and just
and then, right. then I put it in the fridge.
It'll be fine.
Actually, you're not supposed to put hot, really hot things in the fridge.
Mark from Rockford, no such thing as too early. And sometimes you do have to leave a Primo pie out at room temperature and wake up 2 to 3 hours later to eat it.
Well, and I think that goes to Esmeralda's point of congealed cheese. It's going to congeal more in the refrigerator. If we can say congealed as many times as possible, that'll make me happy.
Congealation.
Congealation.
It's not, I don't like that.
And that's going to be more significant once you put it in the refrigerator. Yes.
Man, I wish I was going home to leftover deep dish pizza, though.
I wish,
That'd be, in whatever, it could have been out for 4 days at this point.
And you pop it in the oven on a low. Ooh,
yeah,
it's crispy 350, again.
Yeah.
Mm, yummy.
So very, very good. But I for cold pizza, it's got to be thin crust. And I do
absolutely.
Like cold. I love cold. I don't know why.
Me too.
It's very tasty.
It's a totally different experience.
It is. Yeah. No, and it, for some, I guess because I've done it for so many years, it does have a breakfasty feel to it.
From the 708, I am a lunch lady, and the kids love breakfast for lunch, lunch for breakfast, that kind of stuff. French toast sticks, all that kind
Ooh.
Of stuff.
Oh, French toast sticks anytime. Oh, no, I want French toast sticks.
Are you kidding me? Brinner.
Brinner.
Love breakfast
Brinner.
For dinner?
Bring the Brinner.
Apparently, there's just no rules in society anymore.
Okay. No, all bets are off.
Anything goes.
Well, have you seen this? I was talking to Craig and Stephanie Menendez earlier today. Chicken and waffles are the best thing ever thought.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know where that came from. Who decided that?
The South?
Someone who
is good.
What was that, Craig?
Is
what was
it
that?
The South?
I'm guessing, South but it's somebody who said, I want to have breakfast and dinner. I want Brinner. And they went waffles and fried chicken.
Well, because they do honey. Mm-hmm. Right in the South, you do the honey. So it's kind of like maple syrup. Yeah. So it's that. And biscuits, kind of like a waffle.
Hattie, have you been to Roscoe's there in L.A.?
I have not. Where's Roscoe's?
Chicken. It's on Gower. It's not too far from where we live.
Okay.
Great. Very
on,
well-known chicken and waffle place.
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Roscoe, there it is. I just found it. I don't know why everyone's getting angry at me. Yeah, it's not, let me see how far it is from me right
that's
now.
That's like an L.A. staple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a
how
huge
late are they open?
Thing.
Let's see. It's a kind of a hike for me. I don't think I can make it right now.
I actually, when I went to L.A., I made a point of going because I was like, I got to go get some chicken and waffles.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was okay. I wasn't the biggest fan of the chicken.
That's how I feel. I love the waffle.
Right. The fried chicken style, I don't like that. I like a crispier. I like a Popeye's. Crust.
Bring in your own Popeyes.
I should.
Why
just
isn't
the
Popeyes?
Waffle, please?
I'm gonna not for nothing, but I'm gonna eat someone else's chicken. Thank you for the waffle. Why isn't Popeyes doing waffles and chicken? That seems like a no-brainer for them. Are they?
Do they anyone? Do that
that's
in Louisiana?
I don't know
because that's their thing. Louisiana fast. No,
is.
Anybody?
Anybody?
It's very traditional Louisiana. By the way, that's one of my favorite leftover cold things, fried chicken.
Oh no, yeah. That is delicious.
That is cold. So good cold.
Jewel.
Yes.
The Jewel's does really good fried chicken.
Oh, it's such good stuff.
It's good hot, but then sometimes if there's leftovers, they have it in the fridge thing.
Right.
Cold leftover. Oh, it's so good.
Just grab that and go.
Just eat it right there, standing in front of it.
No. Mm-hmm. No, James is right.
I see James walking around the Jewels, just eating it up and down every aisle. Nothing. Dad, do you go with your wrappers and say, here, this is what happened in the store?
This is something terrible happened here.
No, you do the thing. You do the thing where you know, like when you get a soda and you drink it in the store, and then you just have the empty can and go, charge me for it, please. You just give them the empty container with the bones in it.
Did you guys ever steal the candy from the big barrels?
Oh,
like
yeah.
A Jewel? Yeah.
What's the statute of limitations on that? Yes.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
Well, big time.
Especially when you're a kid, it just seemed like it was they were giving it away.
Right? I was just ask it. Yeah, it was like, take me.
Well,
like,
I did that, and then I think I had to come up with a lie as to if my mother asked me, where did you get that candy? I'd be like, oh, I found a quarter in my pocket.
With the candy machine. A stranger gave it to me and asked me if I wanted to ride in their white van. More after this on 720 WG. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we've got in the studio with us James Vickery. And Craig, I just want to make sure before we leave our conversation about eating pizza for breakfast, I don't want to leave any texters or callers out in the...
It's just an overwhelming. Everyone would definitely have pizza for breakfast.
No, are you coffee drinkers too, though? Patty, are you a coffee drinker?
I love coffee. I just had coffee. I know it's not a good idea. There's a window through which I should not go after about 7 o'clock. I shouldn't have coffee after 7 or 8 because then I'm awake. My heart's racing until 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh yeah.
But careful. You know what I did? I did something. I haven't told you guys this. I went to a transcendental meditation thing.
You did?
I did. I went
I'm
to a TM.
Fascinated by it.
It's weird. I mean, it's good, I guess. I mean, it's a room full of everybody, of people who do this, who've been trained in it. And I was told by the people who brought me with to just pretend like I'd been trained to do this. I don't know what the training entails, but we sat for 20 minutes meditating. James, why are you fascinated? And what do you think the training is to be able to meditate?
Well, I wonder. Yeah, I was just thinking that as you said it, like you could, it's pretty easy to look like you had the training. Just
How are you going to prove how I meditate? You're supposed to like clear your head, right?
And right. I get it. And you know, well, that TM one in particular, I know a lot of people like really subscribe to that, like famous, you know, artists,
right?
Swear by it. So I've always just been curious in that way. But I like the concept of meditation. I don't do it, or I feel like I do it in my own way. I go on a lot of quiet walks by myself. So that's sort of my
considered.
Form.
I think that's considered. Do you think about things, or are you able to walk and clear your thoughts? Because meditating is kind of just, you know, not having any thoughts. I thought.
That was a funny sentence, but I think you're right. You're right. Like, kind of let the thoughts be like sort of passing clouds or whatever kind of idea. But so in that sense, no. My walks are like frantic thinking.
that doesn't
sound relaxing. Another thing about
it. No, it really doesn't. It's a technique for inner peace and wellness. There is apparently some scientific research that meditating a certain amount of time every day can lower your heart rate, can affect your ability to heal and those kinds of things. But the transcendental meditation was founded by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And the meditation doesn't focus on breathing or chanting like other forms of meditation. Instead, it encourages a restful state of mind beyond thinking.
Is that the one where you get?
I didn't mean to snort. I'm sorry. I don't. I apparently did not do it right. I did not move beyond. I don't know how you move beyond thinking.
Is that the one? I could be totally wrong here, but where you get a word or like a phrase,
yeah,
some sort of sound that you go back to?
Yes. Then she says a phrase and after she says that, you're supposed to slowly sort of bring yourself out of this meditative state.
So you didn't lose yourself to it?
There were moments. It was weird. Like there were kind of a couple moments, and it wasn't like I thought I was falling asleep. There is something about being in a room with about 20 people who are all meditating, and it's also strange because you're trying to meditate and then you hear a siren go by.
Right.
And that's not restful. I'm like, what happened to that guy?
No, that's true.
And then someone did start snoring, and then you're like, what?
Oh, really?
That dude's doing that's not. I could meditate like that. That's
right.
Great. That's the best kind.
I meditated 10 hours the other day.
well done, Craig. Have you ever tried meditating?
No, I really want to.
He's never taken a bath, for God's sakes.
I do. I take baths. I get
in a bubble bath.
Relaxing bubble bath.
That doesn't make sense. There's just nothing to do in there. No, meditating sounds amazing. I think it would really do a lot, but it's the same thing for me. Once I'm sitting on the floor and someone tells me to think of nothing, I can't do that.
Right.
How do you
think of nothing?
I don't know.
Like, do you just have to be like, don't think anything?
Right.
Like,
That's already thinking something, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I studied a little bit of meditation at a place called Kripala in the Adirondacks out in Massachusetts, and it's this really beautiful retreat. I actually went there after my dad died. I had a tough time recovering. And they had these different classes of different – there are different forms. Some people just do better with – and actually to what James was talking about, there is a form of meditative walking, but it's actually kind of in a circle. You actually have to have your eyes closed and you kind of focus on your foot, sort of the feeling of your foot moving through the space, like, you know, hitting the floor or the ground or whatever. You're kind of just focused on your steps. So – And there's other kind of meditating where you are internalized and think of parts of your body till you aren't really thinking of anything. One of the ones I liked was when a thought does cross your mind, you just go, oh, there's a thought. You're supposed to kind of let it go, sort of visualize. There are things I do, like when a thought, if I have something that keeps popping up in my mind, I've taught Griffin this, I imagine it being either like on a chalkboard and you just erase the thought. I visualize erasing it. Or that it's on a piece of paper and I crumble it up in my mind and throw it away. So that's like those are just brief meditative moments. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does.
So I have studied meditating. So I didn't feel too, but I mean to be asked if you've been trained to meditate was really weird. I felt like do I have to have a license? Do I need proof? Are they going to notice? Are they going to see that is someone going to be watching like my rapid eye movement?
Maybe they could just sense your energy. Yeah, she's new.
Yeah, she doesn't belong here. Well, and then I realized, I'm like, how do I sit with my hands? How should my feet be? So
it does take practice, though, that to get to that point, right, where you can sort of give yourself over to it. I've never gotten there.
Yeah, I was able to, believe it or not, Craig, and you and I have talked about this. I want to go to a retreat where you can't speak for 3 days. And nobody thinks I can.
You know,
do
that
it.
Makes no
sense.
That would
be sense. Interesting.
She needs a notebook, of course, because she's going to write down at least all the things that she would say out loud.
All the things.
Right. There's no way. 3 days? Three full days. Are you going to be left
minutes.
Completely alone? Is this an isolation thing?
No, it's with other people.
Do you have to do charades?
Oh, no.
Right?
I'd be good at that.
I would do We should do this with the Chicago Fire Department. I don't know.
We should do it for a segment on air.
I can't tell. Wait a minute. This is very confusing. Yeah, I don't know how I would do that. I'm sure there are listeners who are like, yeah, when does that happen? When does the speechless Patty happen? do we need a break, Craig, before?
Yes, we do.
Before, you know what? I'm going to meditate. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We're in our last half hour before Nick D takes over. I'm excited to hear how it went with Risky Business. I don't know. Did Vic Vaughn get a chance to go? We'll have to ask him when he gets in. Esmeralda, you didn't have a chance to go, did you?
I didn't. Vic Vaughn did go.
Oh, he did?
He posted it on Facebook.
Oh, see, that would have been. I love all the movies that Nick does for his film club out at the Rosemont Movie Co. But that's a movie. Like I've seen it once all the way through. It's a movie that my parents made me leave. I was really little. I love that my parents really didn't leave it up to reading the synopsis or the suggested rating. You know, I'm pretty sure that was an R. And so they like going to a movie and deciding, and when something happened that they felt was inappropriate for their 4-year-old daughter or whatever.
Now I wonder, would they go to another movie?
Yeah,
or just be
would.
Like, Mom, we eat that price.
I want to say.
real quick, before we get any further into it, from the 214, this is a text from the last segment. Seinfeld must be good at meditating about nothing. Friends is better. Thank you, 214.
Yeah, there's a lot to chew on Friends. By the way, if we get any texts about meditation and people who try it, please let me know. But it's supposed to be a very good practice. You should learn how to center and focus and clear your head. But there are people who do it like every single day and swear by it. I can't carve out 20 minutes of my day to that. Can you imagine?
I know, but it seems like it would have its reward.
Yes. Well, even to just to reflect, if you decide that you don't want to do the clear your mind thing, just maybe there are people who do like visualization. Maybe they think of the things they want to achieve when they meditate. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you people think about?
Yeah. Left to your own devices, right. What do you think about in there? Right? I mean, that's for me. I think that's why I probably avoid it, because then I start worry creeps in or all the things that bother me. Right? Maybe if you practice enough, you learn how to control those better. That's the problem. We haven't devoted enough time to it, James.
No, we haven't. I, in general, give up on things very easily. What you were saying earlier about
the movies.
The movies.
Yes.
I grew up with three older brothers, and they would watch me a lot, So, like, if I was 5 or 6, of them with my 16, 17-year-old brothers, there was absolutely no filter. Like, I watched whatever they were watching at the movies, including I saw at the theater Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, no.
They came out in 87. I was like 8 years old.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry for you, James.
It explains a lot, James.
A lot?
Oh, wow.
Full odd. Watch the whole
Does
movie.
Does an 8-year-old James sitting in the movie theater ask questions at certain right. points in that movie?
Or are you just stunned into silence?
No, it was all, I think stunned silence, yeah. It was all pretty, it all made sense in its weird way. The world's a dark place, what I came away with.
Oh, man. What, do you, like, as you got older, what were the images that stuck with you the most?
That's a good question, because it really did.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Pyle in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. That had, I was going to say.
That was somewhat mm-hmm. memorable. Actually, here's a positive one. There's one part. Okay, it doesn't sound positive at the start. This one guy shoots some enemy soldiers. Okay,
yes,
that's not great. But he's all excited he did it, and there's kind of a weird pause, and then it goes into that song, "Burr, burr, burr." The burr is a word, and I like that song. So that's probably just 8-year-old me trying to cope. Like, there's something nice.
Burr, burr, burr.
The burr, burr, burr word.
Oh, dear.
Does that still bring back pleasant memories now when you hear that song?
No, I'm breaking out in a cold sweat.
I feel like
it was a rough one.
You'll be okay.
Stanley
Craig,
Kubrick
what's the first impressionable like movie that you probably
I wasn't allowed
have
to see this. I didn't see PG-13. I remember I got sick when I was 12 and a half, and I was allowed to see a PG-13 movie. It was called Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg. It's a basketball-esque movie.
Yeah. Oh,
and actually Celtic Pride as well. I picked both of those at the Blockbuster.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a basketball kid growing up. So those were the most impressionable movies I saw before I was allowed to see PG-13. I remember I wasn't allowed to see Titanic until I was not in my mother's house anymore.
She does get naked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kate Winslet.
I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never saw it. Heard
you still
much.
Haven't seen it?
No, but that's just because everyone's seen it, so now I just haven't. But the reason I didn't see it in the first place.
That movie came out in 97. Wait, how old are you?
I was born in 85.
Okay. Because I was like, wait a minute. I was like 14.
How old did you think I was?
I don't know. The fact that you're like, I couldn't see Titanic. I'm like, what are you? What?
My mother wouldn't let me even when it came out on the video. And I was of age.
Wow. We had opposite.
Very opposite experiences. Yeah. No, Patty yes. often talks about her movie going experiences. And Nick DiGilio talks about his as well. Mine were very much not that.
I saw Risky Business as a kid, though.
Yeah.
Nice.
I saw that. I saw Basic Instinct with my dad when I was in high school.
Oh my God.
It was horrible. Well, and the thing was, and it was very confusing because from a very early age, they were taking me to movies that were just wrong for me, including movies like Risky Business, An Officer and a Gentleman. And then, and for whatever reason, we're sitting there and the movie opens with sex and violence. I mean, she's straddling a guy, you know, just... repeatedly stabbing him with an ice pick. If I'm spoiling this for anybody,
you've had enough time to see Basic Instinct.
Really, you really, really have. And my dad just like I guess I just remember looking at him and he just kind of shrugged and went, I don't know. And I've said this before. I don't know if his message to me was, well, if you're going to have sex, make sure you bring an ice pick. I don't know. Well, because violent movies were okay with them, not movies
weird?
With any sexuality. Yes,
that was my parents too.
Yeah.
As violence all the way. It was fine. But anything sexy, it's like, no, you got to go.
Well, it's something a dad with a daughter. And so, you know, Kristen was on the show Love on Netflix in its first season's on there. And the first episode, there's a sex scene. There's some nudity. Not Kristen. My brother was all excited. He has two teenage daughters. They live in Iowa. He's all excited when the show came out, so I had to text him a warning, like, this might be uncomfortable to watch with your 17-year-old and 15-year-olds, because it's... Right, our friend, actually, we know the girl who was in the scene, and it was kind of a mixed experience for her, but,
So. Well, what did you think? Was it weird for you to watch?
No, it didn't. I thought it was a funny...
Did you see it at a watching party of some kind?
No. Okay. It was just a couple. Yeah. That'd be different. But
did you watch it with other people or just alone? Just James?
Yeah, just me.
Were you by yourself? Was this before or after the bat?
It was with Kristen. Nice. But I gave my brother a heads up that he definitely appreciated.
Yeah, don't watch it with the kids. Don't watch it with the kids.
Yeah.
Esmeralda, what were some of the inappropriate movies that you caught when you were too young?
I can't remember any specifically that we watched, but I remember it was just a lot of violence. And I remember thinking, like, man, they're killing a lot of people in this. This is fine. We can watch this. But I remember my dad watched, I haven't even seen this movie, Wild Orchid, which is, I think, like a B-movie, softcore, porn-like movie. where I remember him going, no, you have to go. And I was like, what? Oh. I want to watch the movie. I mean, I didn't know what it was about at all. But yeah, no, it's,
Mickey
it's a
Rourke,
dirty
Jacqueline
movie.
Bisette. I'm trying to look this
Mickey
up.
Mickey Rourke was the king of the
Yeah, it's a dirty movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was like,
or
what
it's
was
like
the
a sexy movie.
9.5 weeks was it?
Well, there, that was one. And then Angel Heart also had some sex in it that, that was a whole, oh, that was, do you remember that? Bill Cosby wanted, what's her name? He told her that he didn't want her on the show anymore because she had done the sex scene. It's just one of those hypocritical things that you're like, really?
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Lisa Bonet?
Was that Lisa Bonet was going to, we had done this movie where she has a sex scene with Mickey Rourke. And he basically was telling her that, you know, because she was on a family show that, you know, he had disgraced them and that, you know, and ultimately he spun her off to the, what was the one about the college?
That then Different academia, World.
Different World. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sinbad.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm sorry. I never.
But
all
she
roads
always,
do not lead.
She mm-hmm. was always the rebel, though.
Yeah.
Even in the show, she was like her character was like the rebel, Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he was not having any of it. It was Angel Heart, wasn't it? Like in the that had to be like a, obviously it was 80s.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it was a movie about voodoo or something. Maybe it wasn't Angel Heart, Angel something. It was a movie. Okay, let me see what the Mickey Rourke. Come on, everyone, Google with Patty Vasquez. Quick, get to the answer.
I do remember those little flash. Like there was a couple movies, like those comedies that I would watch as a young teenager. And if there was any nudity, it was just like mind blowing.
We have Harold on the line who wants to share his experience watching movies as a kid.
Yeah, please, Harold, let us know.
Well, I have a couple of them, but one of them is my brother used to take me. Well, he'd take his girlfriend to the drive-in and take me with, you Aww. Know, come with some teen movie.
Yep.
And sometimes her sister, sometimes both of us. And one movie, I mean, it was a lot of movies that would have been appropriate, but one movie was Flesh Gordon.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds
did you say, did you say Flesh Gordon yeah. or Flash Gordon?
Flesh Gordon.
Flesh Gordon.
Which is like a, yeah. Well, actually, I bought it on DVD later on, and it actually was shot as a straight porn movie, but the porn laws were different back then in like 73, I think it was. So they
sure.
they got arrested, and what happened is they fought it in court, and the judge allowed them to have the movie back as long as he would pull out the parts that were he didn't deem appropriate. So it was kind of a very heavily soft form.
I'm sorry. There's an unedited trailer, an uncensored trailer. If you Google Flesh Gordon, you can see.
We are not promoting
around.
This per se.
Are we doing a Semper Films of Flesh Gordon?
Can we all just take five here?
It's still not a porn movie, but it technically in those days it was rated.
Well,
not to today's standards.
There's a penis-shaped rocket coming out of
okay,
a bar.
Okay, and Harold, thank you so much for the call.
No, go ahead, Harold. Yeah, what was he saying? Did you get? Oh,
no, he's still here.
The movie, yeah, but yeah. One time my parents never went to the movies. They would watch movies when they came out on TV, and my brother thought, you know, come on, let's go see a movie. So he brought us to the drive-in. Mom, dad, me. His girlfriend, and so we all go to the movie, and I think it was Toolbox Murders. Mm-hmm. So it starts out the very first 5 minutes of the movie. Guy drills some girl in the head with a drill.
Oh,
and my brother turns on the car and then drives out of the, like I had no idea this was going to happen, and drives out of the drive-in. And then we went and seen Blazing Saddles.
Better choice.
Well, at least culturally, it's a landmark movie that you know. Have you watched Blazing Saddles since you saw it all the way back then?
Yeah.
Do you think it stands up?
Yeah. I mean, how do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, considering how much we are, you know, a little more sensitive to language. You know, there's a lot of stuff in that movie that if you didn't see it when you were a kid.
It stands up, but it's here's the thing is I know exactly what you're saying. It's you kind of grit your teeth, but you know who wrote part of that was a lot of it was written by
Richard Pryor.
By Richard
yeah.
Pryor, but mm-hmm. but I mean, but it's you know, but you know who you are, and you know I know who I am, and it's,
right.
it's just laughing at a joke, and
Yeah.
And I'm Polish, and I've told more Polish jokes than anybody. And, gotcha. You know, but yeah, I can't. But it does make you kind of. It's another thing. I got a friend that loves gangster films. He loves all gangster films and, you know, Goodfellas and stuff like that. I'm like, you know how many times they use the N-word? My friend is black. Yeah. He's like, oh, well, that's the way people talk, you know?
And well, like, that, and yeah, as long as you watch it that way and get it. Thank you so much, Harold. What a great story. Right. And now I'm watching the Flesh Gordon trailer. Talk to you later.
It's not so bad.
It will. I don't understand why the women do.
Fun.
It's just a lot of topless.
James?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Are you watching the trailer?
I glanced at it.
Okay.
Well, no, it's just, it's mostly topless women.
I don't know
why
they're referring to. Kurt.
I just want to.
And then the spaceship.
For the record, confirm that all three of you while doing our show Googled Flesh Gordon.
Yeah, we sure did.
Okay.
And now clicking on the link to Milk the Maid.
That does not. Don't click on that link.
Why?
There was also Flesh Gordon versus Cosmic Cheerleaders.
Oh, see, I told you. You want to click on that
one? I do like that at the end of the Flesh Gordon trailer goes, not to be confused with Flash Gordon. It's like, no, I don't think we will, but okay.
That's nice. What were you saying, James?
Oh, no. That you asked about Blazing Saddles. I rewatched. When's the last time you watched Animal House?
I saw it at a Nick D movie club.
Oh, okay.
I saw it, I think, about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
Okay.
It was great. It's funny. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, there's a lot of funny parts, but there are definitely some moments where it's like, oh my gosh.
Is this a date rape scene? What's
yes,
happening
that's
right
the
now?
One. That was the bad
yep,
one
Tom
where
Hulk,
she passed
yep.
out.
Mm-hmm. And he's at the angel and the
And the devil's
devil.
Like, do it.
Yeah.
My mm-hmm. God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Experiment love camp. Hold on. I'm just looking at some of these other clips. What else? I don't know what some of these words are. I shouldn't say words in other languages in case we get in trouble. Although
I like that we're just listening to Google softcore porn right now.
Okay, all that's right. Well, you know what? Maybe I should do during a break instead. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late, and it's that time of night. It's this time of the show. Before we turn it over to Nick D, we are going to wake... Well, we don't know if we're waking somebody up, but before we go, we run the risk. I think that's the best way to put this, Craig, don't you think? We
Correct.
Run the risk of waking somebody up.
Yes.
But for the most part, we get voicemails, and we hope that we
Almost
get voicemails.
Almost always.
Except for in the case of John Cass.
Yeah, except for John Cass.
That was weird.
That was awesome.
he answered? He was asleep and answered?
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd fallen asleep in front of the television.
Oh, okay.
And so I feel like we did him a service. We basically got him off the couch and up to his room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was helpful. And I think Craig's itching to call him again, but I think we gave him a little bit of a gap.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Instead, we are going to call State Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe, who is a regular on the show. And by the way, one of the reasons we're calling him is because he called me on Friday, said he had an idea for me, said he'd call me back in an hour. Never did.
Oh, man. What a tease.
I know. So I'm calling and demanding a return call from him. So there you go. So hopefully
be a belligerent voicemail. No.
No, I won't do that. Hi.
This phone rings
Your
a lot.
Your call has been forwarded.
That's where
we don't want to get his phone number.
Oh, yeah.
No, we don't want to give his phone number out on the air. So.
No, that would be wrong.
Good catch.
Yeah, it's inappropriate. Yeah, Craig's very good about
Six
that.
Is not available.
Six is not available. All you get is the number
At
six.
At the tone, right. Please
six
record
is
your
not
message.
Available.
That's
when
not
you finish
to work
recording,
off of.
You may
no.
hang up or press one for more options.
I don't want more options. We're leaving a message for Senator Dan Katowski. This is Patty Vasquez.
Greg Collins.
James Vickery.
Esmeralda Leon.
Woohoo. Hey. Hi, Senator.
Woohoo.
I'm sorry we haven't had you on the show lately. It's been kind of a hectic schedule, and I know that you're busy. Hopefully next week we can have you back in the studio. But by the way, you called me on Friday and said something occurred to you that you wanted to talk to me about and said you'd call me back in an hour or two. It is now Tuesday, well into Wednesday morning. Just wondering when you're planning on calling me back.
That is not correct math.
No, I'm sure he got distracted. He has very important work to do.
Correct.
And I was just on my way to a cardio bar class. Is what I do out here.
That's
I can't.
Too.
It's angry ballet. I'm gonna take Esmeralda to an angry ballet. I'm taking Craig to an angry ballet class.
Okay, let's do this.
Do I have to wear those shoes?
No shoes. It's
do you
barefoot.
Have to wear a tutu?
Nope.
Wait a minute.
Oh, come on.
Wait a minute. We have to actually angry ballet ourselves.
Yeah, you're put through the paces of some really.
No, I'm just.
Can I wear a tutu?
Yes, you absolutely. Okay. You and I should definitely wear a tutu when we go.
I'll do the meditation one.
Yeah, can I like coach you guys from afar?
Yeah.
Maybe even over the phone?
I think you should have like a bag of popcorn, maybe order some pizza while
perfect.
You're there.
Hey, yeah. If you had to guess, do you think the senator is a bubble bath person or no?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, we don't know.
I see the senator as a person who just showers and maybe bathes upon invitation. God, that was weird. I apologize, Senator.
Wow.
He seems efficient. Saying, shower.
Yes, yeah. Efficient shower. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm saying,
Patty,
you
would
know,
you like to cycle through what sort of situations would get
his wife?
Invitation?
If his wife, okay. Right. If they have a romantic getaway mm-hmm. and she invites him, I'm saying the senator goes for that.
Right. Or if he goes to visit some friends and they don't have, the showers aren't working, so technically right. he's being invited
right.
to bathe.
Like, please
yes.
bathe in our home.
Yeah. Come bathe in our
if
home.
If he travels to a place where there are no showers, they don't believe in it.
Right. Well, I suspect, but I suspect that the senator would prefer if he does do a bubble bath situation, which I don't see. See, I knew that Carm in his heart would want to be a bubble bather.
Wait a minute. And you also knew that Carm would not shower after?
I thought he would be a shower after kind of guy, but okay. I guess he was.
But
not,
he uses yeah. any random soap too. So that
yeah, yeah.
He also eats random stuff at the Cubs games after other people leave. This is something he told us another time in the show. He'll
really?
Pick up like yeah. popcorn or something that people have left behind.
I think okay. I remember that, and now
yeah.
yeah,
wow.
We should let him confirm that before we go.
No, no,
but
no.
I believe
Marcus
correct.
Said that on the air. So
I know
yep, that is something. I mean, I don't think he's ever gone to the like half-eaten hot dog situation.
Right. He just bites the other side.
The soap thing though might start a new trend. Yeah.
Oh my god. Now.
Yeah, the soap thing was weird.
Senator Katowski would not use another man's soap.
No bar no. of soap we're talking. Yeah, no.
Right. Yeah, bar of soap. Another man's soap. I also would not use another woman's soap or another man's soap.
Right.
I
don't. Oh, we're almost done. Almost done.
Almost done. Wow. Well, we didn't even talk about the show tonight. Well, we did talk about bathing,
really
so I guess that makes sense. We talked about wiffle ball. Ooh, I think the senator would be excellent on our softball
oh,
team.
Oh, absolutely.
Pat Brady was on the show.
The maximum oh, time permitted oh. for recording your message.
Wow. Is that one of the shortest? We have to talk to him
yes,
about that.
Yes, he had a fancy voicemail. Isn't that
I
right?
Guess.
The celebrities have the shorter ones?
No, so, Louis Black had like one of the longest.
Oh, they have the longer ones. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, what is that saying?
I think Senator Katowski had one of the shortest.
Yeah, I really feel like we didn't even leave a message at all.
We barely got a call back.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. But if you call back, when you see a number come up right away.
Yeah, you think I have to answer it now.
No, the thing, too, I use Do Not Disturb when I go to sleep. And if you call twice, it will break the Do Not Disturb and ring anyway.
Oh,
so we really,
urgent.
I don't think we want to do
no.
two
oh,
calls.
Good. Yeah.
Let's not blow through the Do Not Disturb
mm-hmm.
sign.
That is a magical tool.
It really is. James, what do you have coming up? Are you in town
performing? I'm going back to Los Angeles next week. So if you're listening, streaming out there at West, I'm at the Copper Still Tuesday and Little Joy on Thursday. I'll be back in June, though. Have some
oh,
shows.
Cool. Excellent.
So,
and we'll have to figure out your schedule for playing softball against the Chicago Fire Department.
Absolutely. I've never played the one with the little ball. I've only done the big old Chicago style.
12-inch?
Oh, 12-inch?
Yeah.
You've never played 12-inch?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's the one with the glove, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It is no. with the glove. There is 12-inch soft softball, like almost like a mush ball. So I'm wondering if they would consider that. I mean, I'll play 12-inch hardball, but I think a mush ball might be better for us.
I think everyone would want you to play hardball.
I know. Yeah. I think so, too.
Right.
I still want to be the catcher.
You want to catch the hardball?
I will play if I can get a tee.
Oh, interesting.
I think that's got to be against the rules.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Did you hear that guy's voice? You think he's going to go
They're not going to tee. They're bringing ringers in, Esmeralda. They're not going to tee you up.